Welcome to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a weekly conversation with area leaders about how to persevere during uncertain times. Now here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Thanks for joining in to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. And we have a great guest today that when you talk about challenging times, it's when that fire is burning across Western Kansas or somewhere on the plains. Somebody has to be helping from the weather side of that to see what's going to happen next. Certainly a challenge. And our guest today is Chip Redman. And Chip is a meteorologist for Kansas State University. Chip, good to have you on our program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
One of the things that I want to talk about just a little bit is tell me about your job. What do you do at Kansas State University that gets you into this type of field?
Yeah, so I'm a meteorologist at K-State, and I do predictive services stuff for the Kansas Forest Service. So I focus solely on, or at least some component of, what the forecast is going to be in the next coming days and even weeks out in advance to help the Forest Service prepare, be able to bring in resources if needed, and then be able to focus on those days of high fire danger and not just the weather itself, but the fuels and how they align with that. And can yield large, significant fires across the state.
One of the things we see as, I'll say, consumers of weather is you see the red flag warning and the fire danger warning, one of those charts, some sort of a bar chart for doing that. Do you create those, or is there a code system that you use and 10, 1 through 10, et cetera, to show the danger level?
Yeah, so I work pretty intimately with the National Weather Service. They are the ones who issue fire weather watches and red flag warnings. And we correlate and give an assessment of the weather and fuels and help them make that decision to pull the trigger on a red flag warning. But we focus more on the National Fire Danger Rating System. It's a system that's been adopted nationally for the most part with the federal folks and the folks that fight fire out west to put us all on the same, basically, communication and language to help ensure that firefighters, whether they cross state lines or cross region lines, can talk the same terminology and be able to understand when they move from a different location, understand what's going to happen in the future.
One of the things, and you and I talked about this a little before, but you have come with an interesting title. It's an agronomist incident meteorologist, and that's a lot of words. But what got you into this business, Chip? How did you say, boy, I'm going to go from being in high school doing something to get into this?
Yeah, so I got my master's degree from South Dakota School of Mines Technology, and I was lucky enough to work with some fire weather folks and get some experience in that world, and both boots on the ground and from a higher level at the meteorologist level, which is something most meteorologists that do incidents that are with the National Weather Service, and they have very little to no boots on the ground experience. And when I came here, I started working in the agronomy department. I still do, and I run the Kansas Mesonet. But I also kind of found my love with fire and was able to take that over to the Forest Service and help them out with a much-needed predictive services position to guide them and provide them more information that they weren't able to get, not necessarily from the Weather Service, but more driven data that's down to their level that they can help to use it to make effective decisions. And then I take that as well and work with a Rocky Mountain incident management team that takes over large fires that are very complex, both in the region, which is Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, Nebraska, and then also nationally as well, wherever we get assigned. So we work with potentially thousands of firefighters on large, high-profile incidents.
One thing we dealt with, and I ended up in kind of in the middle of this because of Sweetwater Ranch north of Hayes, but the fire on December 15th of not this past December, the year before, really scorched, burnt a whole section of area in northwest Kansas. What do you communicate to the fire departments there that helps them do their job better?
Yes, so the easiest thing is just telling them the weather is going to be that day and communicating that through a lot of different methods, both from relationships from prior fires or maybe other work, Homeland Security type events, as well as talking them through what's going to happen in the future. It's really easy to go out and put the wet stuff on the red stuff, as us firefighters like to say. And that's not all of it. We have to think out in advance, multiple hours in advance, of where the fire is going to be in 3-6 hours, and how, what's our ability to catch it at that point. And then think about protection, because when we fight fire, we think about life safety is the number one priority. And so if we can protect life safety, then we try to protect property. If we can protect property, then we actually try to put the fire out. And if you don't know the forecast out 6 hours in advance, especially December 15th, which was a dynamic day of shifting winds, not just high magnitude winds, but winds that went from southwesterly to westerly to northwesterly, that changes that head fire almost 90 or more degrees in direction. And that's very, very challenging for firefighters and can be extremely dangerous. So communicating out those things is really, really pertinent to protecting their lives and protecting the lives of the public.
I see you use social media to some extent. Do you use that to communicate as well?
Yeah, most of our social media stuff goes out to the Kansas Forest Service. We try to do a weekly video if we have fire weather concerns during the week, and we try to do it early in the week. And then as we get closer to the event, and it's a higher profile event such as December 15th, we do much more often updates, just trying to get to the people. And the more media we can put out there, the higher likelihood that we have to reaching them.
One of the things about the December 15th fire is you were recognized for your preparation getting into that. What exactly in prep for that whole fire, what was it you were doing that really put you in that role to really help do the best to manage that fire?
Well, some of it is pattern recognition. We, in the Great Plains, we have kind of typical weather pattern setups that are more conducive for fire weather conditions. And that December 15th event was very anomalous, but also they fit what we call a Southern Great Plains wildfire outbreak. I've worked intimately with the folks down in Texas and Oklahoma, with the Weather Service and the Forest Services there, of helping to identify these events. And we've been working on that for several years. So almost a week and a half, 2 weeks out, when we saw that pattern starting to set up, that's when we realized we probably need to start communicating, because we've already had extremely warm, dry conditions. Our fuel scape was very, very conducive for fires. And when we compound an event like that, it comes down to, you have to talk to the people and put it into perspective of, it's not going to just impact them and the firefighters. It's going to impact the public significantly if we get a fire start. And then when we end up with multiple fire starts, like we saw that day, the complexity increases significantly. And then probably the bigger known fact is trying to address things that aren't just driven about the fire. Is when we know we're going to have strong winds, we have developing drought, we're going to have a lot of blowing dust, visibility is going to mean nothing. And so putting these other components in that sometimes get tossed out and not thought about, putting them into the minds of the responders, they can more properly prepare and not put themselves in a life-threatening situation.
I know you have you've been a meteorologist, and when you work at Kansas State as a meteorologist, obviously drought and all of that is something. Have you ever seen anything like the exceptional drought conditions that we're currently experiencing?
A lot of folks mentioned 2011, 2012. That was about a year before I came to Kansas, by ways of South Dakota. So I wasn't necessarily focused on that time period. But one thing I've noticed is folks tend to really focus on the current and feel that often they want to compare to past events, and no two droughts are the same. And so no two impacts are the same. And like the 2011-2012 drought was very bad, but it developed at a different time. Where our drought in the most recent year developed during the peak growing season and was really high impact to agriculture, and every drought typically is, but this was more so, and we didn't break tons of records. And we can have drought fit into the climatology that occurs across Kansas, because think of climatology as a pendulum that swings from one side to another. Momentum always carries it, and our climate's in the middle, which is never there, right? We're either at drought or at flooding, and trying to communicate that to people that, You know, it's part of our climate. We have to be able to prepare and adjust. And it's a good reminder. And fortunately, it's high impact, but it's a great reminder that people should have a drought plan, both from fire to ag to water resources. And if we don't have a plan and we're not prepared for these events, they're going to continue to be extremely high impact.
I'm going to take a quick break here, Chip, and come back. But I want to talk about firefighting and what you have been a volunteer firefighter. But what can you do as a homeowner if you have a rural home to be able to help on that end as well, and what you should be looking out for every day when you listen to the weather forecast. So our guest is Chip Redmond. He is with the Kansas State University as a meteorologist. We're talking about fires. We're talking about severe winds. What causes that? We'll be back with more after this.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.
Our guest today is Chip Redmond on Forward Ever, leading in challenging times. And fires are one of those most challenging times. Chip, are you still a volunteer firefighter?
Yep, I've been a volunteer firefighter for 8 years now.
So is that in out of around Kansas State? It's as I understand, you've been a part of the Blue Township Volunteer Fire Department. Is that right?
Yes, I'm a captain on Blue Township Fire Department. We are just east of Manhattan off down Highway 24.
Well, I appreciate the work that you do. And I saw that with the firefighters on that December 15th fire that took place. That effort, and when you say volunteer, it is a volunteer effort. And what can you say about those guys that are out there, gals, et cetera, that are out there helping fight these fires? Because it's a dangerous position to put yourself in.
It is a dangerous position. And as we have progressed over the 8 years that I've been on this fire department, we've seen the stressors of that, where folks they get burned out easily. They might not be able to leave work. And volunteer really brings out the fact that we have to train ourselves to be prepared for those situations. And like a December 15th event, it's kind of one in a generational event. And it's not something we are able to prepare for because we just don't see it enough. And the impacts of that are very, very high with both mental stress and physical stress. And if you don't properly prepare yourself through your years and through your department, then something like that can be really life altering in a way that it might not have burned up any of your land, but the things you see and the fire behavior you dealt with and the visibility problems and even the health impacts of breathing in smoke and dust like that are really high. And so you have to be really mentally and physically cognizant of those risks and train as hard as you can for the events that we just don't often see.
I guess it's one of those things somebody listening to this can say, hey, maybe I'd at least asked a question, because sometimes it's just the sheer time, the hours, because it just isn't a 2-hour event. It could be a 24-hour event or a 48-hour event on some of these fires, and help is so necessary, especially in rural areas where you're working with a volunteer team and they just need more help.
Yeah, and I don't want to scare folks away from that by any means. It's one of the best ways to benefit your community. And we don't even need boots on the ground. Sometimes we need people back at the station doing paperwork. We need people helping to communicate with leadership. And those kind of roles don't necessarily have to be fighting the fire. There's a huge need for firefighters right now in the state. And as we look at the changing fuelscape across Kansas, we're seeing fires that do last longer and that they take more time and have a higher demand. And I really encourage folks to give it a try, test it out, and see if you can help out your local community. Because unfortunately, with the lack of firefighters now we're needing more departments to respond to these fires, and we're just not getting the personnel. And unfortunately, that can mean a fire like a December 15th event can get out of control quicker because we just can't get folks to those fires to stop them. And if the fire escapes the initial attack phase, what we call usually the first hour or so, and continues to burn very actively and not be stopped, typically the response is going to double almost. and you're looking at a much longer event.
What do you do as a homeowner if you live in a, well, anywhere, I guess, as a homeowner to help improve your chances of one of those big fires, of causing damage or you know, completely destroying your home? What are some of the best things that a homeowner can do?
Yeah, there's a lot of resources out there for homeowners. FireWise, that's Fire, FireWise, is a great program that talks about flammability of your landscape and landscaping and the vegetation around your house, as well as the type of house and makeup you have. Not many folks have wood shake shingles out in these parts. That's more out west, but that's one of the biggest problems we see. And then additionally, just places where embers can fall and catch something. So leaves in the gutters is a big one. You know, burnable vegetation like cedars right up to the house with leaves maybe accumulating under the eaves or under the around the base of the house or under your porch are all great first starting points to look at. Maybe removing that burnable vegetation or at least cleaning it out as in the fall. So as we enter our peak fire season in the winter and into spring, you don't have those flammability things. And then basically making a bigger distance from vegetation to your house and eliminating the fuels that go down to the ground. Cedars typically go right down to the ground and they're the most flammable in the burning season in Kansas. So by eliminating that lower vegetation along the ground can help keep that fire from getting up into that cedar and spreading. So there's a lot of programs I really recommend FireWise, and not just for the rural folks. We've been really, really lucky. In fact, we go back December 15th, my biggest concern wasn't a rural fire. I was concerned about a structure fire or something that is on the west side of a major town that would basically initiate a conflagration because it would get so hot and spread so rapidly that houses burn and they go house to house. And we saw that in Colorado later that year after December 15th. I think it was the right before the New Year's. And that was purely a rural or an urban setting that burned. And so we have to treat everything we have as a fuel that's burnable and try to minimize the amount of burnability that we have on our structures.
Well, Chip, I appreciate all the work you do. And I think it's one of those things that when we're listening to the weather, those warnings, those alerts that are going to be red flag days. And I think as individuals living in our communities, if we see a fire, don't wait, get it reported. You mentioned time is the biggest factor of getting there soon versus letting the fire get out of control.
It really is. And folks, just really be smart on those days. Have ways to get warnings. Know when there's peak fire weather conditions. You can follow the Kansas Forest Service on Facebook. We do videos that will alert you. And follow the National Weather Service. They're the ones that issue those red flag warnings. And know those days. Don't have a spark. If the grass is brown, it's going to burn. It can dry out very quickly, even after an inch of rain. It only takes an hour to dry out. And anything you do that causes a spark, whether it's construction or driving through tall grasses, just avoid those. And we don't have any fire starts, you won't have to report any.
Well, appreciate the work you do, because I know when it gets started, it's a 24/7 job for you on these big days when the wind's going on in Kansas, and you cover a big part of the Midwest on some of the things you do. So appreciate all your work.
Thanks. Let's make it rain and let's get rid of this drought, please.
I'm with you on that. Chip Redmond has been our guest here. He's a meteorologist, Kansas State University. Chip, thanks for being on our program. And thanks to you for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, brought to you by Worth Wealth Management, where you can live with confidence. I'm Gary Shorman.
Thanks for joining us for Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. Join us right here next week for another episode with host Gary Shorman. Until then, remember to move forward ever, backward never.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.